Welcome to the Mother Days podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wright Olson.
And I'm Teresa Palmer. I'm so excited about our guest today. Thank you, Sarah, for finding this beautiful woman. I cannot wait to jump in and ask a million questions. She's literally living my dream life right now.
Same. You guys, we are so excited and so lucky to have this beautiful human here today with us, Angelique Cabral. I was like making sure I got your name right. Yeah. Every time I say someone's name, I get so nervous.
Say it again just to make sure. I want to hear it again.
Angelique. Okay, I got it. But
Angelique Cabral.
There you go.
Ooh, there, she's, I love
that accent.
There's a little
like French in there or something.
That is. It's French. That's right.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You guys probably know her from the show that was such a hit, Life in Pieces. But she's also been on so many shows that everybody watches, including Eric's show years ago.
That's right.
CIS Los Angeles. And most recently, we can all be graced by her gorgeous voice on the movie, Disney's new movie, Wish. And she plays Queen Amaya. And when I saw that you were in this, I was just like, wait, what? That's so amazing. First of all, my dream is to do an animated movie some sort.
Right. And I feel like it's all of our dreams, right?
Yes.
Like we don't, truly, yeah, when I got this part, I was like, oh, my dreams just came
just
through.
Came
and I didn't
true.
Even know.
You're living the dream. Okay, so thank you. Welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay!
I can't wait to chat.
Aww. Me too. And for most of our daisies, you know, if you were listening last year, you guys know that I did a pickleball tournament and I got paired up with Angelique, and it was the greatest pairing of all time because we became instant besties and we're all the way to the semifinals together.
It's like historical. I feel like we really made a name for ourselves in the pickleball world, right? I'm so proud of us.
Me too.
I'm so proud of us. We had no idea. I mean, listen, we both play. You play more than me, Sarah, but I had played
really
like five times. And I was really proud of the way we showed up and played. Aww. And like, it's a lot of moving parts with those kids. And I was like, I'm getting there. And it was fantastic. I had so much fun.
You came straight from a job. You were like shooting something in like somewhere in the South.
Savannah.
And you, yes. Yeah. And then you like jumped on an overnight flight, got in at like 7 something in the morning and came straight to the pickleball court. And I was like,
it was wild. What? They canceled my flight from Savannah and I had to drive to Atlanta 4 hours in a transpo van. Overnight to get this like random flight from Atlanta. It was the worst. I slept on the airport floor in Atlanta because I had 2 hours to kill. No, it was wild. And production like wouldn't put me in a hotel. It was this whole thing. But I was like, I'm going to get there. I'm not going to let my team down. I know. I couldn't wait.
And I was the team.
And you were my team.
I was the team. And I was like, I had no idea what you went through to get there. I was like, I'm driving 35 minutes to the Valley. And you were like,
I was like cockeyed when I showed up. I had no idea. I was running on fumes, as they say.
So fun. And by the end of it, we had like our own personal handshakes and like our cute matching outfits and like all the things. We were like, Is this who we are now? Do we play in pickleball tournaments? And
I was literally like, I guess I'm really athletic and really competitive. I don't know.
Same.
I was so happy because kind of thrust us together. Yes. Like we were forced to hang out. That's and then ever since then we were like texting and I have friends that live near you and in your world. So like that's been really fun. And I'm so excited when you asked me to be on this because I'm a big fan. So this is an honor.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. You're the cutest. Well, Anjali has two amazing children and this beautiful life with work and motherhood and everything. So when we were talking a little bit about the podcast, I was like, I want to hear before we get to like, because I obviously want to hear the whole like Queen Amaya story and that all of that stuff. Tell us a little bit about like, where did you grow up, mom and dad? And then give us like a little insight to having your babies and all of that.
Oh, sure. Well, I was born in Hawaii, but my parents got divorced. So I moved to Carmel, California, is Northern California, they consider it Central California.
Near Big Sur?
And very near. Like I grew up hiking and surfing Big Sur. Not surfing as much, really hiking and rock climbing and then surfing Carmel and Monterey, Santa Cruz. Like my dad lived in Santa Cruz. So I'm a California girl. I would consider myself obviously. And I was raised by my mom and my maternal grandparents who were in Carmel. And then my dad became he's always been a part of my life, even though my parents were divorced. My mom worked really hard at making sure that I had a semblance of a normal childhood. And even though it was a broken home, I really didn't know the difference. And I saw my dad on the weekends and they remained very good friends. And my mother, to her credit, never spoke ill of my father as I was growing up. If anything, it came like a little later in life once I was like grown in my own with my, you know, in my career and my own kids.
She would be
like, yeah, like exactly. She would kind of vent and tell me the story of like their demise a little more. But like as a child, she was never like bad mouthing him, which I really admire, especially now that I have friends who are going through divorces. And I see it's like very tricky, right? Like you have to protect yourself, but also you want your children. I think she really wanted me to like respect him and not think ill of him. So I had a very beautiful, loving childhood, and I'm very close to my grandparents. And then I went to college. I performed musical theater my whole life. I was a big singing. Okay. Wow. So like, this is what I had always wanted to do. This was not like, I wasn't obsessed with TV at all, but it was singing and dancing and acting. And I did it all over Monterey County and all over, growing up, like all over Central California. And then I went to school in Indiana, which is random, but I got a full scholarship. We didn't have a lot of money. Yeah. It's very random. So I was valedictorian of my high school and I was very academic. And I knew kind of from an early age that everything I wanted to do would kind of have to come from me, if that makes sense. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of options. So I realized that by being great at things, you could kind of move through life at a different pace. So I really, and my mom always said, if you want to continue acting, you have to get good grades. Like you can't like that's kind of your prize, is like the grades mm-hmm. come first, and then being able to be a part of the theater productions and any kind of theater that I wanted to do, I had to have good grades first. So that was instilled at me and wow. instilled in me in a very, very young age. My work ethic, I think, is very strong to this day because of that, because of having to like do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting into many amazing schools, Stanford and Northwestern and Yale wow. and really amazing schools that we couldn't afford wow. and they didn't offer me enough. Yeah, they didn't offer me enough financial aid for whatever reason. So I ended up at Indiana University as a Wells Scholar, which they still have today. It's a full ride for 4 years. It's an academic scholarship for 4 years. They give it to about 20 to 22 students a year.
Oh,
and they
my
look
gosh.
Far and wide.
Girlfriend's a genius.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
I think back on that and I don't wow. think I realized how rad it was, because it
it's
was a full
so
ride.
Cool.
And they paid for us to travel abroad for a year. They paid for room and board and books.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, and the only stipulation was I had to maintain a 4.0 through the entire 4 years.
Jeez.
So I actually graduated. Yeah, that was harder than it sounds, especially because I was in all the things.
Harder than it sounds. It sounds horribly hard.
What is a 4.0?
A 4.0 is basically straight A's.
Straight A's. Oh, so if, and is straight A's, could you get an A minus, or is it like,
yeah,
it's
you
gotta
could.
Be A?
You know, it was really, I think that they gave you there was a little leniency. I think it was like 3.7 to 4.0 or 4.1. And I think I ended up graduating
wow.
with a little bit over
wow.
4.0.
Okay.
Yeah. I worked really hard. Again, I was, phew. I don't think I'm a genius though. I think what it was is that I just really, I'm a good test taker, which I think
yeah.
makes me a good actress, because I can remember facts and
yes.
I can remember, I can like wow. kind of digest it and then spew it out. And
yeah.
that's kind of what I think acting is.
Mm-hmm.
You take your script, you remember it, you memorize it, you take the notes, you listen, and then you can like do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's like, that helped my ability.
You had this like burning desire, you had this dream, you had this goal, and you were just so motivated to keep working towards it, and you had to do it all on your own 2 feet, which I think is so beautiful. And to learn those lessons at such a young and impressionable age,
mm-hmm.
and then that just carries you through life as a
truly.
Woman, as someone working in the industry, as a mother.
I mean, it carries me
I
now for
it.
Sure.
I was just gonna say, mm-hmm. it makes you get on an airplane and fly overnight to make it to a pickleball tournament, because
yeah,
otherwise,
right.
like a lot of people would have been like, no,
right.
I'm not going to like
yeah.
ride in a van and sleep in the airport and show up and do
right.
it. But you did it because you were like, oh, well, I made a commitment. I'm going to show up. And then you
yeah,
did
I tend
it.
To do that. Like if I say I'm going to do it, I figure it out and I do it. And I think that also I see that on set, like people
yes.
in our industry complain. And I'm not a complainer. Like
yeah.
I kind of am like a workhorse,
a
and I'll do whatever it is. And I think that comes from years of taking
same.
Like 22 credits and staying up all night. And like,
oh
it's
gosh.
All part of our story
mm-hmm.
and our tapestry of like how we behave in this world as people. And that's kind of where, well, we can circle back to this, but I struggle because my children are being raised very differently in a way, just because they have privilege and they have,
yeah.
they're in this big city and they have everything. And
yeah,
I went to private schools my whole life, but
my
I was on scholarship and
that.
There were, yeah. And there were things I couldn't do. And I knew it. My mom was like, we don't have the money for that
yeah.
summer camp. We can't go to tennis
mm-hmm.
camp.
Yeah.
And I had to do like this other thing. And
wow.
so I'm finding, I'm kind of walking that fine line. And Jason and I are from similar upbringings. And I keep hearing though, that people are like, you live in a way that's very grounded and very of this earth. And they see how you move through life. And we're
yeah.
not, in a lot of ways, we have fancy lives, but we're not fancy people. Like I don't
yeah.
go and shop and buy bags for thousands of dollars and these fancy shoes. Like that's not me.
Yeah.
And so all of that, I think, seeps into our children and the way that we kind of move through this life,
true.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I anyway,
completely agree with
we can
that.
Circle back to that. But anyway, I went to IU and then I had this big dream of being on Broadway. And I wanted to be a Broadway star.
Oh.
So I moved to New York in 2001.
Wow. Wow. Oh my gosh.
And then it was 9/11, like 2 days after I moved. It was September 11th, 2001, if you remember that.
What was that
life changing?
Like?
Well, I didn't know New York very well.
Oh.
And I didn't know that this was, I mean, I just moved there. So it was pretty terrifying and pretty
mind-boggling. I couldn't really comprehend the scope of how this would change everyone's lives and our sense of security. And I don't know. I think at the time I thought, oh, this is kind of like normal for big city, but it wasn't at all. Wow, right. Cause yeah. This was like the first time I lived in a big city. Yeah. But it changed the trajectory of my career, I would say, because I came out to do Broadway and then there was like no auditions, everything shut down.
Yeah.
And at the time I had gotten a day job teaching Montessori preschool. And that kind of became my whole life, like dealing with these children. And there was some loss within the school. And so taking care of these, I was like 20, you know, 22. I didn't know what I was doing, but that gave me an outlet and a kind of a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And I really saw how I was affecting these children. I loved being in the classroom and I loved teaching. And my mom had been a preschool teacher. So I had a great time in my early 20s, even though that whole thing kind of went off the rails, the idea of like Broadway star, like the whole thing. I pivoted and I became this preschool teacher and I nannied. And the whole time I was in acting class and always taking the classes and doing the things, but I was kind of hustling and I had a bunch of other day jobs. And I became a personal assistant. And I became this nanny for many different families. And I catered and I did a million things. And then that like brought me randomly to like commercials. Isn't that wild?
I know. You're just like, but it's consistent. Like it's consistent from your
so consistent
childhood to like when you're in school and then like in your young adult life, like you were such a hustler. Yes.
It's actually so moving.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I think of it now and I'm like, good for you, Anj. Like, you did so well. Like, good for you. Like, no one was leading you and you just kept going. And I look back at those years in New York with such gratitude. It makes me cry. I just feel like it was scary. I was by myself. Like, it was a wild time. And I wouldn't give up. And I just kept thinking. And it kind of reminds me weirdly of Wish, the story of Wish when you see it. Like, I just always kept wishing. I just always kept believing. So when I finally got this script and I realized what the story of Wish was, I was like, my God, did I like manifest this movie in my life? Like,
yes, what did. The?
You I'm like, my mind did. To this day, like when I see it, I'm like, this is uncanny how similar this is to my life, my storyline of my life.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times, potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/motherdays.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
But anyway, New York was incredible. And then weirdly, I met this man who's now my husband, fell madly in love, and his job brought us to Los Angeles, not me. Like, I was like, TV's for the birds. I hate LA. I'll never live in LA. I'm a New Yorker. I'm a theater girl.
Oh, wow.
And his company, he at the time had a granola company that was being manufactured and acquired by Kellogg's here in Los Angeles. So like we had to move.
Oh, wow.
And I begrudgingly moved. Like, I was dragging my feet. I was like, this is the worst. I don't ever want to live in LA, you know? And we lived in Santa Monica, and we moved here in 2009.
Aww.
And we had no money. I moved here. I had done some commercials and a bunch of soaps, and that was like it. I was like, that's all I'm ever going to do, because at least soap opera, it feels a little bit like theater because there's all the cameras and you only get one take, and it felt a little bit more theatrical. And when I moved here, I pretty quickly started auditioning, and I don't know if it's ignorance is bliss or what you will call it, but it was that same perseverance of kind of being like, oh no, I'm like very good, and I can do this, and this is like so easy compared to the entire rest of my life.
Right.
Like, you want me to do TV? Like, this is like easy compared to what I have done.
Oh my God.
And I started taking classes at Leslie Kahn.
Oh my gosh, I took Leslie Kahn.
Do you remember
Kahn
that?
Too.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Oh, she's the so OG. Crazy. She's the best. OG. She's a dear friend today. She changed my life.
Wow.
And
get out.
Yeah, she kind of. I found her classes to be so wonderful because of the community.
Yeah.
Like, there was a community
there
and
was.
You had to rehearse. And I, again, that work ethic in me, I was like, oh, okay. So if I'm not on set, I should be rehearsing and acting every day for 3 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And I would host rehearsals hours a day, running lines, taking notes on my feet. And I realized like that's her whole thing is like, until you're getting paid a lot of money on a set, you should be acting every day. That's your priority, is to find the time to rehearse every day. Mm. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You clearly don't want it bad enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I want it bad enough. So I would host the rehearsals, and I kind of was like, what is this testing? What is the series regular? What is the difference between I was learning. I'm like a sponge. So I was like soaking it all up in a very short time. I feel like it was kind of like my grad school, if you will, my time at Leslie Kahn. And I moved here in 2010, and I think my first show was like 2011 or 2012. Like, it happened pretty quickly.
Wow.
But I think it was, again, because I was already older. I'd been in New York for 10 years.
Yes.
And I felt like everyone was like, oh my God, you're like so old to move to LA with no credits. And I was like, first of all, I have a lot of credits.
Days
of Our Lives.
Watch me. Yeah. Days of Our Lives. And do you know how many like Broadway shows that.
Yeah. Yes. So I think, again, I had this sense of self that I think came from years of doing this on my own and kind of being like, I can do this better than anyone. And I kind of, not in an egotistical way, but just kind of like, I've never let myself down. And that's still how I feel.
I love that attitude. That's such a good attitude.
But it's scary. People don't like to hear it. It's a weird thing.
I know so many people. This is why I'm finding it so like impressive is I did not have this experience. It was like handed to me because I just was so lucky, even though I did come from a similar upbringing to you.
Right.
And grew up in government housing and all those things. I still had the same dream. But the difference was I finally got in a movie, and the movie premiered at Cannes, my first film.
Right. So that changes everything.
I was the lead. So then that was my first experience. I mean, I've never been to Cannes since, but that was my first experience. And so I was like, oh, this is just how it is. You just kind of do a movie and then it goes to Cannes and then you're in these big blockbuster films. Right. Cool. So that was my experience. So hearing this, yeah. I had other friends who had similar experiences to you where they came to LA, they saw how it happened for me. And they're like waitressing for years years and going to the classes and doing the rehearsals and getting the little bit parts. And then I would say 100% of them gave up. My friends moved back to Australia, moved back here. Everyone just gave up.
They fall away. They fall away and it's too much. The people can't handle the rejection.
It's a lot of rejection. Yeah.
It's a lot of rejection.
And you kept going. You were like, no, I'm going.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how, by the way, I just got rejected today. Like we're always getting rejected. Always. Do you know what I mean?
Always.
And you better have
all the time.
And I feel like at our, I would say place in this industry, the three of us, I'm sure we're kind of similar, but like, it doesn't get easier.
Yes.
I mean, the bottom line is that there's less parts, but you're kind of always against the same people.
Totally.
And then, it's bigger projects. It's better. You know, you're going straight to test, you're getting offers, whatever, but it's like, it's still like the little Angelique at 8 years old who didn't get the part in the play, right? It's like, it's always in there.
So do you know who told me this? I like 2 years into being in Hollywood and I had that like amazing luck. So I was going to all these incredible events and oh my God, this is just the way it is. I was at a baby shower and I was talking to Reese Witherspoon and I was maybe 21. And she was like, oh, just so you know, it doesn't get easier. Like it just the same feelings that you're having now, you still feel the same way. Cause then it's like you're up against these other girls. And it's if you make the wrong career move, then suddenly, like, oh, you can't sell tickets to the box office. And then she's like, it does. Cause I said to her, it must just feel so amazing to just like have offers and just to, and she was like, no, cause then you're curating something and you're up against other people and then you make the wrong choice. And then all of a sudden people are saying your career's over. And I always remembered that feeling. And I was like, you gotta want it so that badly and be so passionate about the work and the artistry to keep going because it is hard no matter where you are, you know, on the success level or our own ideas of what success is. Cause we all have our own, like I think we all have our own the barometer changes and you get a certain level of success and then you're like, oh, but still I'm getting rejected and still it's hard and still I can't get financing for the things I want to do. So it's a really particular industry. And I don't think unless you're in it, you understand the complexity.
That's right. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Like I'm always like, do anything else. When I used to teach for Leslie and I would literally be like, do anything. I would say to my students, like, if you like anything like car washing or like dishwashing or literally real estate, anything, do it. Do not do this. Like, do not do this. It's going to be really hard and you're going to be unemployed and poor for most of your life.
Yeah.
But if you're fine with that, like you have to like love it that much. Right. And that's also why I think we have to have, you have to love it so much. And you also have to like have a full life, which is like my greatest blessing. And that leads me to the kids. Yes. And like, I'm just like, thank God I have this full, beautiful life that's thriving. So it doesn't, like my career is like icing on top, really, is how I feel about it, you know?
Yes.
But when I moved to LA though, and I started kind of working pretty quickly, again, I kind of had this idea of like, I eventually want to get married.
Yeah.
Eventually I want to have kids, but I had certain road markers that I wanted to accomplish before I even like remotely thought about children and marriage. Like I wanted to have my first series regular and I wanted it to be picked up to series. Like I was very specific. I make vision boards and I manifest and I was kind of like, I don't care how old I am. I'm not having kids until I have X, Y, and Z. So like that, and I wanted to own a house, like all these things. So it's always kind of been, I guess, hustle. And then I finally felt I was ready to have kids.
And did you reach those things?
Yeah. And I said to Jason, I was like, because I'm not fear-based and I realized that I was getting older and I was like, oh, I wonder if we should start talking about now that we own this house and I'm on my second show and we're in season 3, like it felt comfortable. And I was like, oh, I guess now we should do this, like, I guess. And then we got pregnant. Like, I don't, I'm not at all. Yeah. Like, I'm not, there's no, I don't really run with fear. A lot of people are fear-based in their decision-making. Like, let's do this because God forbid this. And I'm kind of like, this seems like a good time. It's a little more spur of the moment, or comes from a place of maybe happiness or inspiration instead of fear.
But it's thought out, which is really so wonderful. We were saying earlier today, like, everyone has their own ways of doing things, and sometimes that works. Some people are very spontaneous and they're like, wee, let's just do whatever. But then I love that, like, you've really thought about it and you have certain goalposts, and it has served you so well in your life.
Thank you.
Well, I was going to ask you, so, okay, so you ended up being on a show. You were in season 3 of the show, and then you were like, we should have a baby, and then you got pregnant. How did you do that with the show? Tell me about that.
Well, I basically, one of my good friends was like, it was right after the new year, and she was like, No, that's a lie. That's a lie. It was right after Thanksgiving. And she was like, Angelique, I have to tell you something. I'm pregnant. And I was like, okay, Jason, should we try to get pregnant? Like, that kind of like made, that kind of brought it to my attention because we were the same age. And I was like, oh God, like, people are doing this now. And so we just had our beautiful we had a New Year's Eve, and I thought, this seems like fun. Like, let's just go for it. And I went off the pill for like a month. I went off the pill that day that my friend told me. That was like right after Thanksgiving. And then on New Year's Eve, we got pregnant, which was like a month later. Is that crazy?
Is your baby's birthday September 28th?
my baby's birthday is September 7th, because she was early because of the placenta previa. And it was a scheduled C-section.
But okay.
So, in September. Yes. So I basically, like, as soon as I found out, I thought I did the kind, responsible thing as an actress. And I told my showrunner, and I was like, I just want you to know that I am pregnant.
Boy. Oh, dear.
And I don't know what episode this was, but they were like, okay. And basically, we would have our hiatus, and I would come back from hiatus pregnant. And showing, because like the beginning of, obviously you're not showing after your first kid, but I will tell you, I ate a lot of Domino's.
Yeah.
I gained a lot of weight. Like, so much Domino's that they sent me a care package for my baby.
Stop it.
That's how much Domino's I ate. Yeah, they sent me like a Domino's onesie and like Domino's throws pizza. And like a $200 gift card. Yeah, it was bad. And Jason traveled a lot for his work,
so,
and he would see the Domino's delivery guy come to the door, and he was like, what did you just get delivered? Like, he could see it on the Ring camera.
Oh,
I'm like, stop stalking me. Why are you obsessed with me? Anyway, I gained a lot of weight. And it was, you know, your first pregnancy. I had a great pregnancy. There was no issues. I felt great. But they found out that I had placenta previa, so they had to schedule the C-section. And they, you know, we did all the things. I went to Dr. Berlin. We tried to move the placenta. We tried to, I mean, I hung upside down, like all these crazy things. But it was a stubborn placenta, and they wouldn't
spinning
move.
Babies.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if those of you who don't know, it's basically the placenta is blocking the cervix, so that if you birthed your child in a natural birth, the placenta would be born before the baby, and that's very highly dangerous. And generally, it ends in fatalities for the mother more than even the child. So it's like really dangerous for some reason. I didn't fully understand, but I just knew that it was like not an option.
Yeah.
So they scheduled my C-section when Addie was, I think, 36 weeks.
Wow.
And I went to set, full hair and makeup. We shot, and then I went to the hospital. Like, I went to the hospital, like, full hair and makeup.
Oh my gosh.
Lashes. Again, because of the worker bee in me, I was like, I'm so sorry I'm having this baby. Like, I felt apologetic.
Oh my God.
And now my showrunner of the show is incredible. He has 3 daughters of his own. He's lovely and couldn't have been kinder. And I had a really great experience, actually, like, up to the end of my shooting. They were just kind, and they would kind of give me, you know, I would work 1 or 2 days an episode. Like, it was they took very good care of me. I will say that Life in Pieces took very good care of me. The hardest part, though, was post baby.
Yes.
The C-section was wild. Have either of you had a C-section?
No. Tell us everything.
No.
You have not had a planned C-section. Okay. It's wild because you go in and they're basically like, come on in. You're going to have your baby. you're like, okay. And I went in and Jason was not allowed in the room, but my doula, Rebecca Beninati, who's the best doula ever. I don't know if you're familiar with Rebecca, but no, she's incredibly amazing.
No. Amazing.
You love a doula?
Love a doula.
You love a doula?
Love a doula.
Love a doula.
Love
so
a doula.
She was in there with me. Yep. Love a doula. And they basically put up like a curtain and they tie your arms down.
Okay.
And they give you, it's a major surgery. You get an epidural. So you're completely numb from your waist down. And I was very out of it. I threw up. I was very ill. Like it did not, it was very hard. Like that part of the, I was extremely nauseous and it was very hard.
Were you afraid?
I wasn't afraid because I had Rebecca there. And then after I was settled, they let Jason in like for the major part of the surgery. Yeah. Like at the beginning, they have to make sure you're okay because of all the different medications that they're giving you. I haven't really thought about it a lot, actually. I think I kind of blocked it out. Like I think it was pretty traumatizing. But I remember it was fast. I remember that it seemed very fast. And then I remember you just feel all this pressure and tugging and you're being sewn up and basically being put back together. And then all of a sudden you have your baby. And I had requested skin to skin. That was really important to me as soon as Adelaide came out. And I knew we were having a girl. So they let me have skin to skin while they finished. She was huge. She was big. She was like 8 pounds. While they finished like doing the bits down there, I guess.
Yeah.
And I just remember because of the medication, there's a lot of medication that I was given for pain and just the surgery because it's a major surgery. I was very swollen and I was very uncomfortable post-surgery.
Yeah.
And kind of out of it. And I remember being in bliss with, obviously, as a first-time mother. But also I felt like a little bit of distance. I don't know how to explain it other than I felt like I was kind of moving through something like a thickness or a distance to like my life and my body and even the baby. I had no problem. I had no problems breastfeeding. This was probably like, I would say a full 10 days post baby. Then I asked to go off the medications cause I did not like how I was feeling. And, I think it was closer to 7 full days, but I remember just not liking how I don't take any kind of medication. I don't take any pills or anything. So I didn't like it. I didn't like how I felt, but I was in a lot of pain. It was the most pain I've ever been in to this day. Like it was awful, but I also knew that I had to go back to work in exactly 3 weeks. It was like 3.5 weeks post C-section. So I didn't have a lot of time. So I remember that being weighing on me. It was so fast. It was probably too fast. I probably should have advocated for myself a little bit more.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could.
Right.
To be honest.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because isn't it, don't they say 6 weeks is the optimal time
I do blame myself for a lot of that because I will say that again, as this worker bee hustler in me, I didn't want to miss episodes. I didn't want to be left out. I loved the show so much. If anything, ironically, was working and operating from a bit of a fear-based situation there where I don't want to lose my job. I'm so grateful to have this job. And I had amazing people on the show, Colin Hanks and Betsy Brand, all of whom have children and kept saying, take more time, take more time.
Yes.
And I remember Colin and Sam coming to visit me and being like, you should not go back to work. Like, you're not in great shape. Like, I did not feel great. I was very swollen. And I just think that, you know, if I could teach anything or, you know, advise any young actresses out there who are having children, advocate for what you need and don't be afraid to ask for what you want. And I think I was a little afraid. It ended up being fine. They wrote me very lightly. Yeah. Going back to work, it ended up being okay. And my nanny came to set so I could breastfeed. That was very important to me. I breastfed solely for almost 2 years for Adelaide. So my nanny came to set with me.
Wow.
And they were great about pumping and letting me take breaks. But I wasn't comfortable in my body. I think that whole rest of that show, really, that whole rest of that, at least the rest of that season. And when I look back, I think that even now I'm still getting back to myself, if that makes sense. Yes. I'm still rediscovering, because I think I kind of went like this and I compartmentalized and then I moved on. And then I had Alden pretty quickly after that. I got pregnant pretty quickly.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So I got pregnant about a year and a half later with Alden.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
It was, again, kind of a fluke. I kind of thought, oh my God, if we're going to have a second kid, like, let's go for it. And it was my 40th birthday. And I was like, let's just get, see what happens. And I kind of, my best friend, Kristen Ritter, was pregnant. And I thought, that sounds fun. We should have babies together.
Yes.
And it, that, you know, I'm very, I never have had, you know, knock wood, I've never had a miscarriage or any kind of issues getting pregnant. So it just kind of happened. And I went about this pregnancy kind of differently, where I was like, I'm not going to eat pizza. I'm not going to let myself go. I'm going to kind of keep it tight. I was doing Tracy Anderson at the time, and was much more in control. And also, as a parent already with like a toddler, you never sit down. You don't have a break. So that was a very,
that's right.
It's harder, I think, in a lot of ways, the second pregnancy, just because you're so tired from having already children, and you both know. So Alden was a breeze, and then it came down to having, you know, having the birth. And I wasn't on a show at that point. Life in Pieces got canceled, and I was auditioning pregnant, and I did a movie, and I was working, of course. Well, it's always fun auditioning pregnant when you're trying to hide it.
And like, you have producers that are like, oh my God, what is happening?
Like, why are you wearing a muumuu? Like, you're like, a cop.
Putting myself on tape when I'm pregnant and like sitting at a table, like, no, there's nothing under here. Like, I did that 9 months pregnant.
You walk in with like a briefcase. They're like, I'm sorry, why are you carrying a briefcase?
A laundry basket. It's so weird.
It's a character choice.
But it's this weird thing, right? Where we're like, why do we have a sense of shame? It's like such a wild ride being an actress pregnant. Like,
oh my
gosh.
Like,
you're automatically on display. You have all these eyes on you. I mean, we could do an entire podcast a whole episode on just that.
Women who are actresses. I think it's honestly, in any workplace. It's like,
any workplace.
Yeah, like, people have a fear of getting fired. You're like, well, I'm not going to be the chosen person for this next, like, you know, what's it called? When they give you, not a raise,
when you get,
promoted
a raise when you
for
get
the promotion.
Yeah,
yes.
Promotion. I love that you just did that. I'm always like, what's that word? And I think, is that mom brain?
It is. Yeah. It's mom brain.
They say that it stays forever, basically. Mom brain.
Stay forever.
Once you have it, it barely goes back.
I'll be in the middle of a conversation and I will completely go blank, and I'm like, I'm trying to think of this word, and it's kind of like a mountain, but
sounds
it's not.
Sounds like.
Constantly playing Pictionary.
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's so good.
I feel that with Alden, I kind of was like more prepped, but also exhausted. But I had decided, much as I do, classic Angelique.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to have a VBAC. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have a VBAC. I heard of that. And I thought, that sounds cool.
You're like, I'm
Let's
doing
do that. And I was like, that sounds great.
Okay.
Honestly, I think because I was so traumatized from my C-section, and my doctor had said, we'll just give you a C-section. Like, that's kind of implied that once you have one C-section, you always have a C-section.
It's true.
I asked, I said, do I have placenta previa? And I switched OBs, not for any reason other than I didn't, this is a different story, but I didn't love the post care that I had been given with the C-section, whatever. Yeah. So with my new gynecologist, Suzanne Gilbert Lenz, who I'm obsessed with, at Women's Care of Beverly Hills, I said, can I ask to have a VBAC? Like, is that something that you like have to petition for? And she was kind of like, well, most people don't want that. Like, it's really hard because it's essentially a VBAC is a vaginal birth after cesarean. So it's essentially like a first time birth because you're birthing your child through the birth canal for the first time. Yeah. So it feels the same as it would if you had never had given birth.
That's right.
And I thought, well, that sounds hard. Let's do it. Like, right? I was like, that sounds really fucking hard. Yeah. That sounds
in true you style. The girl that got into Stanford and Yale.
I'm up for the challenge.
All these places, like,
That sounds great. That sounds very hard.
She's like, I'll give it a go.
I'll just give it a go. And I'll try to not be induced and all the things. Well, Alden got too big. He was getting big. He's a very big boy.
Oh my gosh.
And so they had, and I kept doing that thing. What they call it, curb walking.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going like this. Did you hear about this?
We love a curb walk.
I love a curb walk.
Love a
curb walk. So I did curb walk. I did all the things. I was stretching my vagina out and I was just rubbing all the things and taking all the supplements, just tried like deep squats. I stopped doing Tracy Anderson. I stopped running. I just did trying to loosen up like all the things. And, it didn't work. Nothing worked. So I had to be induced. And hardest part of my, I think that the one of the worst things of my entire life up until now was that Foley balloon being inserted into my, did you ever have this?
No. I had friends who've had
I've
it.
I've never had it, but I've heard.
It falls out when you're 4 centimeters, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And it's really just this balloon that they put inside of you. And I couldn't get it in. they tried for hours to get this balloon in. I was so tight. It was awful. It was the worst pain ever. And I hadn't had I was trying not to have an epidural. I was like going to try to be like super gnarly. That did me in. And I said, give me the epidural right now. And then finally they could get it in, but it took almost 3 hours or 4 hours to get that even started. And then I had to wait to dilate. And it was like 30 hours. I was in labor for like 30 hours.
Oh,
it was a very long day of my life.
Girl. Well, that sounds like a typical first birth.
Exactly. So that's right. And I was kind of like, this is like camping. Like I kind of loved it. I was like, I had my mantras playing. I was doing my Kundalini. I was like just chanting. Yes. And I practiced Kundalini yoga. Like I'm a certified teacher for Kundalini. And I bring that practice with me through everything. I don't even know if I've talked about that with you, Sarah.
Is there anything else you do?
I know.
It's like
that
what?
I did right when I moved to LA because LA was wild. And everything was weird here. And I thought, I need something to ground me.
Yeah.
I'm going through the list of all the things.
I know. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Kundalini. She's like a woman of everything.
Pickleball champion.
Pickleball. That's correct.
Well, Montessori teacher.
Montessori teacher. I'm a nanny. I can do anything. I can do your kid's birthday party.
Acting coach.
Oh my God. Nanny. Now you really can do the birthday parties. You can come over, dress up as Queen Amaya. And yes.
I'm Dory. Yes. I'm hawking my wares ever on every corner right now. Now, post strike, I'm like, hey, anyone need a Queen Amaya?
Yeah,
I'm the actual Queen Amaya.
I love it.
So my labor was very, and all this to say, my labor was much like my entire life, long and hard.
That's right.
And I ended up pushing for, I told you this, Sarah, 3 hours actual active pushing labor. And Dr. Len said to me, it was awful. And she said to me about 2 hours and 40 minutes in, she said, Anjika, I have to tell you, she pulled Jason aside and
we're gonna have to have a seat.
Like this is too bad. It's too much. His heart rate was starting to kind of falter.
Oh my God.
And I felt like I was like losing consciousness, to be honest with you. I was pushing so hard. And I just said, just give me a few more minutes. I can do this. I know I can do this. Just give this to me. And something like just guttural, animalistic, some sort of ritual that's been in our ancestors. Like, I don't know what it was, but I just felt this white light and I just got gnarly.
Oh my gosh.
Like gnarly. And I pushed so hard and I just,
gnarly.
I mean, I definitely pooped like 17 times on the table.
Yes.
Like Justin was like 100%.
Poop
and he was like,
everywhere.
You were an animal. I've never seen that side of you. I felt like it was all of the things coming out of
me. Amazing.
And he came out and I did it. I had a successful VBAC.
Sweet relief.
I burst some blood vessels in my eyes. I chipped my front right tooth. Mm-hmm. And
what? How did you do that?
From like grinding on my other tooth.
Oh my God.
And when Jason was like, we were taking pictures, he was like, I don't think yeah, I don't know that you want to picture
Stop
of the baby.
It.
Like I look with the baby, like I look, I have these pictures. I look not myself. I was not myself, you know,
I do.
Transformative. It was really wild.
Same. I burst capillaries in my eyes, all over my face.
My face.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I was so swollen. So crazy. Swollen. And I wouldn't trade it for the world.
By the way, I was just going to ask you for people who are listening, because like when you got into that 3 hours of pushing, was your epidural up high? Like, was that part of the problem, or was like, could you feel it? And you were like, trying to push through your butt. Like, tell me about that part.
Right. Well, for part of the time, that was the problem. It was, too high. So okay. I couldn't feel what was happening. Yes. So I asked them to lower it, which increases my pain,
But
I'm okay clearly with pain. Like I thrive on it. So then,
That's what I needed.
Okay. But I remember feeling almost like I was pushing through my butthole.
Yeah.
And it really changed everything. And it was like this weird squatting, weird thing. And it changed everything. And that was probably the last hour of it.
Wow.
And then I was able to do it. But I really look at that as like I'm so grateful for that experience. And I think about that when things get hard, and even with the kids and daily life of parenting. And I think through all this stuff, I'm like, I did that.
I know.
And no one can take that away from me.
Yes.
And no one can make me feel like shit. And you can yell at me all you want because you're not getting your iPad or whatever it is. And you know what? I did this. Like, I'll just remember it at like random times.
Yes.
It makes me feel so empowered and so strong. And I honestly, the recovery for that was a piece of cake compared to my C-section.
Yes.
Wildly.
Piece of cake.
That's what we've heard. Like, you know, when your body, when you have, it's the surgery. The surgery is like really, I feel like the thing is that they don't tell people enough, like what the aftercare of a cesarean, because it is a surgery and the aftercare is a big deal. There's a lot that goes into it.
And I had no idea, really. I was not prepped for the aftercare, the swelling in my legs, the pain of the abdomen, and how it kind of affected my mobility, especially as like trying to be very hands-on with the baby and nursing and all of it. So I look at my first birth as not as ideal as my VBAC, even though the VBAC was so much harder.
Yeah. Wow. That is such an amazing story. I mean,
hey, I got my tooth fixed. Don't worry. my tooth is
up and
running.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God.
That's right. And I remember, do you guys remember these like donuts that you sat on for like a month? Like the donut. I carried that everywhere.
Love a donut. I
love a donut.
Love a donut to sit on. It's so nice.
I don't remember the donut.
Well,
what's
they
the
give
donut?
You.
It's for like, a
for,
little
like
cushion,
the swelling.
Really.
Yeah, the cushion that they give you for like your.
It just elevates your sits bones so that when you're sitting.
Hemorrhoids too. If
hemorrhoids,
yeah. Which is really great.
I don't think I had to poo and pee in a bucket of warm water.
That's right.
Because I tore. And my mom, I'd be like, I'm ready to go again, mom. Then she'd put the hot water in the bucket for me. And I would just go into
the
bucket.
That's a good mom.
I was like, thanks. And she'd just empty it out for me.
Isn't it humbling? It's just the most humbling you'll ever. Yeah.
It's so humbling.
It really is.
It is so humbling. Like just leaky boobs.
Right. Oh. You're like basically being reverted to a child. Child who's now caring for a child.
Yes.
It's wild. You're like, it's like,
I know. Yeah. It's so wild.
Can you tell us a little bit about Wish? Like, just give us like a how did you get the part and the singing and the experience and like tell us everything, because pretty soon when this is out digitally, everyone's going to be seeing this movie, right? So,
everyone's going to say, yes, I want to know about the audition. Like, what's the audition?
Oh, yeah. This is wild. So the audition, this was like 2 years ago, you
That's
guys.
Crazy.
Like these are very long.
Wow.
Like I had just had Alden, really. Like it was during COVID, I think. It was like towards the end of, it was like 2022.
Wow.
What is that? Like it was still like people are still wearing masks.
Yes.
I don't know. But I got this audition for this untitled next Disney feature, the next musical feature, they called it, where they would be singing. And I thought, to be honest with you, and this is something I'm working on, but I thought, yeah, right. like, why me? Like, that's, it's too big. Yeah. Like, there's no way or something. Like, I, for all of my hard work and all of the things, I find that sometimes when projects come my way, I'll be like, oh, that's not me. I'm getting better at it. I'm getting much better at it. And this past year has been pretty transformative. I'm doing a lot of work on that. I'm sure we all in different ways minimize ourselves, or we don't see ourselves in a certain way. Right. But
yes,
I thought, I'm going to go for it. I kind of like picked myself up by my bootstraps and I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to take a swing at this. And I got full hair and makeup and I put myself, it was an on tape audition.
Okay.
And for producers and director. And it was like 10 pages of sides. And then they wanted you to sing an a cappella song. And weirdly, even though I grew up singing and singing is my first love and my first passion, I haven't sung professionally really ever, or at least for like 20 years. Wow. So I thought, of all the people they're going to get, why me? But I took a swing and I had an incredible tape. And at the time, this character was written as an evil queen. So it was very different than how she ended up.
Yes.
And I just had a blast. I still have the audition.
Can you send it to me? I want to see it. Back.
Yes. Yes. It's, really it's amazing. It's great.
I love watching all audition tapes.
I know, right? Yes. It's like so fascinating. Yes.
When you sent it in, were you like, nailed it?
Well, like, I did feel like, that. Yes. I did feel like, wow, that was great. Yeah. Like, I was like, that was really fun.
Yeah.
I was in the zone. It was great. Yeah. I don't know if it's what they want, but it was, I felt like good for you. And I felt like complete, like that I took a swing.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything. As you know, it takes months sometimes. And then I got a call like 2 months later that I was on a short list and they had revised sides.
Oh my gosh.
And then I'm like one of three girls or four girls that they were seeing for this part. Because the director really liked me.
Oh my God.
I know. And I thought, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so it was completely different tape and the sides were completely different. And I went into Leslie Kahn, where I always do my tapes, and I meditated really hard before it. And I felt she was maternal and benevolent. And I taught and I found her. I spoke, Magnifico, you are our handsomest, most beloved king. Like, I found this kind of like earthy, like breathy, but very grounded, loving voice. And I kind of put that on in the audition.
Amazing.
And it felt really cool and different.
Yeah.
But very grounded. Like, the idea was that she was a grounded, benevolent queen who like loved her kingdom. So I found this maternal part of me that I brought it out, and I didn't hear anything again for 2 months. And I thought, bye bye.
2 more months.
And then, and then I got the call. Like, when I was on vacation, I had had a couple beers at the boardwalk in New Jersey at the Jersey Shore. And they called to be like, you just got this part. You're the next queen in the new Disney movie. And I was like, I fell to the ground. God. I was like, what are you talking? I started crying, of course.
Wait, there was no like, you have to meet the director. You have to do this. Like, just didn't hear anything for 2 months and then you got a call out of nowhere?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it was, that was it. There was no chemistry read. Because again, in animation, I didn't know anything about this, but in animation, you never meet your co-stars. You're always alone with just the director. And so the director and I was signed up. I worked for Disney for years through 20th. Like, so all of my shows have been through 20th. So 20th via Disney, like, knows who I am. But I had never auditioned for a 20th Century Fox
for people 20th, listening.
That's great. 20th Century Fox, who Disney owns 20th Century Fox. So like, I had kind of been in their world, but never in the features. And I had never, I had never done an animated feature in my life. I've never done even a small word on any film. So I kind of was like, is this a mistake? How could this be real? But then I thought, this is so classic Angelique. Like, of course this is real. That's, like, of course.
I'm in shock. This is amazing. Wow.
Isn't it amazing? Yes. I mean,
I have goosebumps.
I blessed it. I blessed the universe. I love Queen Amaya. I feel like she's my like kind of guiding force through really my whole life. And when you see the movie and you see how she is and how she moves through this movie and her end story, and she ends up, for a spoiler alert, I'll just say it because now I'm allowed to because the movie's out, but she saves the day and it ends up being, they say, like, all hail the queen.
Wow.
Queen Amaya, like, long live the queen. And she kind of takes over the kingdom for him because he goes rogue and she kind of like takes over. But I thought, of course, why not expect beautiful, magnificent miracles? Why not wish on a star and wish and things come true? And so I kind of am like leading with that this past year working on her. And it's weird. It's been a year and a half of recording her. And you go months wow. in between sessions, and you go for 4 to 5 hours at a time in this booth with just the directors. You have no idea what's happening. The pages are always different.
Oh my God. Did you cry your eyes out when you saw the movie?
Weeping, brought to my knees, weeping. Sarah, I still cry when I see it. I've seen it probably 20 times. I can't believe how good it is.
Oh
I can't believe
how beautiful. Oh my God. Do your and kids I love her love so it? Much.
Love her. They love Queen of Mine. Every time I come on, they go, Mama, that's you, Mama, Mama.
Oh my God. I'm like Mama. Getting teary eyed just thinking about
that
it.
That is so
like,
special.
I know. Well, I've never had a project that my children could be a part of yes. or see or witness. Oh and so for me, it's really yes. cool that they can enjoy it with me. And I kind of am like, this is the best. And it's kind of all I want to do now is animation. You can have a great life as an what animated voice. Oh, yeah, it's a dream.
Totally.
So that's how I got the part. And that's how now the movie's out and it's coming out on Disney. Digital on the 23rd and and it'll be out on Blu-ray I think March sometime in March so
oh my yeah. god
I can't wait for everyone to see
okay,
it
okay everybody how all the daisies have to see it I can't wait oh my god
daisies yes hopefully all the daisies love it
they're gonna love it and we love you you are seriously I feel like better about my life listening to you. I'm like, oh my God, she just taught me so much.
I love that.
It's such a specific industry.
It is.
I love your perspective.
We're all just doing our best. And I feel like as a mother with all this also, it's just so important to just stay present for the kids and not let our industry and our jobs affect our mood around them and not give in to like, you know, the social media, what people think. It's just, it's all about them. Everything I do is for my children.
Yes.
I love being a mother more than anything. And it's made me a better actor. I don't think I would have gotten Queen of Maya without them for sure. Like, I just feel like I'm so capable in a way I never was before.
Yes.
And I think that's setting the stage for bigger and bigger things.
100%.
And like manifesting bigger and bigger things.
Absolutely.
And so I think that that's how I'm like going about this right now.
Oh, I love you. I love you, pickleball
partner.
I love you so much.
my pickleball teammate.
Yeah,
this has been amazing. Thank you for having me on. I love talking about all these things.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your life.
It's amazing.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you, Angelique.
And we just love you so much. And
you're so sweet. Are you going to take a picture? What do we do?
Take a picture. One. Well, yes. I mean, I'll send you all kinds of things.
You'll send me all things.
Daisies, you guys can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for being here. And thank you, Angelique.
This was so fun. Thank you so much. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.